Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Napa Auto Parts, celebrating 100 years in business. And today we're going to be joined by Hall of Fame mechanic Guy Forbrook. We're also going to hear from Ashley, the editor of Dirt Empire magazine, and Steve from Napa Auto Parts, right after a few words from our sponsors. Extreme
powder coating. Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coating offers a scientific process that uses electricity and heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme can deliver media blasting, impact resistant epoxy primers, and durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Custom colors and exhaust coatings are available also. Visit extremepowdercoating.net for more information. Kevco drive shafts are 100% American made in the USA with USA sourced materials, using precision machine yokes offering more clearance and higher strength than any shaft on the market. All drive shafts are meticulously hand built and balanced on our new Superior Driveline's Shaftmaster machine. Kevco drive shafts has the ability to build carbon fiber drive shafts loaded with Spicer 1310 solid body non greasable U joints for superior strength. Kevco also offers U joints, U bolts, slip yokes, and anything you need for your drive shaft. Call them today, 800-770-3557, or online at kevcoracing.com.
BP Racing Fuels is proud to be recognized as a world leader in race fuel technology. BP's fuels have a well-deserved reputation for power and consistency, winning championships in every form of motorsports for more than 40 years. Whether sportsman or pro, methanol or gasoline, BP has a fuel to ensure optimum performance for your application. See the full line of VP's high-performance products online at vpracingfuels.com. At VP Racing Fuels, our passion is your performance.
When you need a trailer, you want selection, service, and someone who will be there after the sale. Zach's Sales and Service in Sherburne is this region's leader in quality trailers from H&H, Aluma, Mission, and Easy Hauler. Whether you need a utility, enclosed, dump, flatbed, or tilt trailer, Zach's Sales and Service has over 300 trailers on the ground and ready for delivery today. Contact Zach's Sales and Service today at 507-764-2299 or see zachstrailersales.com, where service is right in their name.
Bulldog Coatings, let Bulldog protect and restore your floors. Transform your old garage floor with a local family owned Bulldog Pros. Beautiful coatings, longevity, trust the experts, we make it so easy. Affordable solutions, you can't go wrong. See BulldogCoatingsMN.com. Bulldog Coatings, let Bulldog protect and restore your floors.
Partnering with hog and cattle producers throughout the United States, Altenburg Construction has over 30 years of experience in the slat replacement business. Altenburg Construction uses a custom wash bay to ensure biosecurity for your herd. Whether you need an entire site or a single slat, stop into one of their three locations in Louisville, Minnesota, and Ziering in Washington, Iowa, and ask about their five-day guarantee. Or call 888-435-2210 or see AltenburgConstruction.com.
This is Justin Melke from Melke Oil Company, this region's premier BP race fuel dealer, and you're listening to the driver segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Hall of Fame sprint car mechanic Guy Forbrook. And Guy, your father Dick, I got to meet him and listen to him talk at Sprint Car 101 at Kossuth County Ag and Motorsports Museum with Jim Edgington and Stacy Redman, and man, the stories were flying. What a great guy your dad was, and a very talented race driver.
Yeah, no, those guys, that's the good old days. Those Stacy Redman and Jim just passed here a couple weeks ago, and I think Stacy, I haven't been to Knoxville this year. I think Stacy's still alive, but that was definitely the good old days.
Every driver here in our state has a need for speed in the winter, which includes snowmobiles.
Yeah, no, I raced snowmobiles as a kid in high school. But I mean, I loved riding snowmobiles. My dad had a snowmobile shop, and I love racing snowmobiles. And we had some good success in snowmobile racing. But my passion was driving a race car, and it was a lot warmer.
Oh, yeah. You got to like the cold to be a snowmobile guy. But I've read so many books. It's amazing the amount of race drivers that got into snowmobile racing. When I had Bobby Unser on the show, he was big into snowmobile racing. And you think about the guys that came up here from Iowa or down from Canada to race in Minnesota on sleds. Back in that era when you were running, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, I was at, when I was like 17 years old, I went into a bar in Eagle River, Wisconsin at the World's Championship race. And I walked in with a couple of guys that went with me, and I looked over at the bar, and here was Dick Trickle sitting at the bar. So I went over and sat down and talked to him for a couple hours. But yeah, no, there's a lot of race car drivers, including Stacy Redmond. I mean, Stacy raced snowmobiles too back in the day in the 70-71 era, you know. But Trickle, he was a good snowmobile racer, and Sammy Sessions, and there was a lot of them. The Unsers, I don't remember the Unsers racing snowmobiles up in here that much, but Sammy Sessions, and I'm trying to think who else was up in here that raced a lot. But they definitely crossed over.
And you said your true passion was definitely racing, and you put your own sprint car team together in the early 80s. When you look back on what you were running back then, it's a little different from what you're bolting together now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. It's just a lot more expense, but it's still four torsion bars and four wheels and a motor. So it's not a lot different than it was back in the day. It's just the CNC machines nowadays definitely trick it out a lot more, and you got a lot more parts that are machined instead of handmade. But they're definitely way more expensive than they would have been back in the day, too, you know. Motors we'd have had back then, I mean, the most expensive motor, 410s back in the day when I was driving, would have probably been about $15,000 to $16,000, you know. So now they're as high as $75,000 to $80,000.
And then the lighter the parts get, the more expensive they get.
Yeah, and I mean, the parts aren't getting any lighter. I mean, in the late 90s, early 2000s is when it got pretty crazy as far as there was no weight rule. And our cars got down to 1,050 pounds with the motor in it and the oil and everything. So that's when it was really starting to get carried away. I mean, every part on the thing was titanium, magnesium, or carbon fiber. And it's not that it's not a lot of that today, too, but they were lighter back then than they are now.
Between 84 and 85, you racked up a dozen victories at Jackson, Fairmont, Rock Rapids, and five in a row at Huset's. Most memorable victory out of that period of time?
Oh, probably the first sprint car race I won would have been one of the fun ones. And obviously, the first one at Huset's. But the first one I won would have been at Rock Rapids. It would have been the first night I actually raced the sprint car. And I went there with Jerry Franson. Me and him rode down there. He rode my pickup. And we won the race and came home that night. But it was probably the most memorable just because I was with Jerry. And if anybody knew Jerry, trust me, it was a race in its own just with him riding there and working with you. But probably the first one.
The accident that changed your life and started you down the path of a Hall of Fame career as a mechanic, that says a lot about your determination and drive to succeed. What I didn't know all these years is your injury was in your neck, not in your back, and you actually lost the use of your arms for a short time. It's amazing you were able to do what you can do.
Yeah, no, it was, trust me, it's like yesterday. I still remember the night, but I lost my arms for a few hours, and I kept telling the doctors that my arms had to be broke. Because, I mean, they hurt like you couldn't believe, but that's just because the nerves were that mad. That's how close it was to completely losing them. And it changed in about 10 hours, 8 to 10 hours, and they started to come back. And my hands were still weak for quite a while, but they came back too. But, yeah, no, it was a whole new life experience. It was like a bad dream. You never even could, I was like, you always kept blinking. You thought you were going to wake up. But it was something that you'll never forget. I mean, I can remember I used to do 200 to 300 sit-ups at night before I go to bed or in the morning. And I used to go run on that. And then when I got to the hospital that night at the university, they had me strapped to a headboard and I could kind of see down to my toes. And I looked at this nurse and I said, what happened to my stomach? And she goes, why? And I said, well, my stomach was like a washboard at the time, but it was all imploded up. And what happened was when I lost all those nerves, everything shut off, and all my stomach muscles went the other way. It looked like I had a water balloon in my stomach, which was something I'd never forgot since that day, you know? But yeah, it was definitely, I had 2 months of soul searching at the University of Minnesota, and then I started doing some research work and doing some electric stimulation and some walking, and got to meet some fun people and some really cool doctors back then. And that definitely got my mindset kind of wrapped around not feeling sorry for myself. And I kind of moved on a little bit, but I mean, I was never planning on being a mechanic. I mean, Ron Coles called me 5 times to want me to come work on their car. And I told him, I'm not going to work on it. I never planned. I wanted to be a race car driver, period. That's all I wanted to be. And I mean, I did build my own engines in my own car. I could, but I had some people that worked with me too. But if I had to, I could build all my own stuff, no different than I did my snowmobiles. But it was a deal where when you get pushed into things, I had to do something. I wasn't just going to sit there. And I went to a race with Ron Coles, and then I came home and he asked me what I thought. And I just told him I'd probably make some changes. And the next day he called me, he said, well, I'm going to make some changes. He said, I want you to be the change. And I told him there was no way that I'm going to go working on nobody's car. He said, just try it. And honestly, I did not want nothing to do with, at first it was a real pain for me to get around a car. That time yet, I was like a wobbling duck. I could hardly get around yet. But we went to a race at Huset's, and we put Jerry Reichert Jr. in it, and we won the first race, and I guess the rest was history after that.
In 1988, you hooked up with a guy by the name of Danny Lasoski. You won 54 races over the next 2 years, along with track championships at Knoxville and Huset's. What made that connection so special?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, he's definitely a really good driver, and we kind of grew together, and we got hooked up with Al Cole besides Ron Coles, and that was when we started our endeavor with Earl Gurdy, and that definitely made our race team really strong with Gurdy engines at the time. And working with Earl and me knowing my way around a motor with fuel systems and all that kind of stuff, and then you put a guy like Danny in the car, and it wasn't like we had a lot of equipment, though. I mean, we barely ever even had a spare rear end or a front end back in them days when we won that many races. People never even realized what we did have or didn't have. And he wasn't hard on equipment, and he would always finish in the front, and we'd always make enough to keep going down the road and keep going down the road, and we kept building the team, and we just were good together. It doesn't matter when we started or stopped. If I started racing with him 5 years later, we would win or run first or second the first night out. You know, we always just kind of clicked together.
The Lasoski crash here at Owatonna. I was in the crowd that night, and I'm sure you felt the same way as I did. When he left the track, a lot of people sitting there thought they'd just seen somebody die.
Well, I went back there, obviously, right away, and he was already out of the car, and he was definitely screaming. He had broke his shoulder. But, yeah, there was a lot of thoughts in both our minds that night because we had just won Knoxville 2 nights before that and beat Sammy to do it. And the motor we were testing that night right there at Owatonna was the one that we were going to try to win the Nationals with. And it was a really good motor. And obviously he was leading that race and he had passed Randy Smith, which Randy Smith ran second the first night of the qualifying night at the Nationals. And Steve passed him with 2 laps to go. And we about sucked his hood off when we went by him that night. So we would have had a really good shot, but that was a year that Doug was really fast too in 89. I don't know if we could have beat Doug, but I know we could have ran in the front couple.
In 1991, you hooked up with another racing legend, the Wild Child, and picked up 14 wins and the Knoxville Track Championship.
Yeah, and I mean, the moral of that whole story was there would have been a lot more wins. Nobody realizes he got sick right after the Twin Features, and we never raced together from July all the way to September. And we had won the track championship at Knoxville that year with 7 different drivers. I kept switching people in and out until Jack got, healed back up again. He had some problems with he had his appendix out of him, like, I don't know how many years ago before that it was, and he never let the incision heal, and his stomach started growing to his intestines from the inside. It started squeezing everything in his internals, so he had to go back and have surgery again to release all that. So they had to make sure it all healed. So, yeah, we never got to race together that much that year until after we won the Twin Features at Knoxville, and then he never got to come back until, I think it was the last race of the year at Knoxville. We ran second to Doug, which locked up the championship, and then we won Cheater's Day, and then we went to California and ran some non-wing stuff and wing stuff. We ran second at Chico with a non-wing race at CRA back then in 91, and then he set a new track record and ran second. And then I think we ran fifth in the Gold Cup, and then we went to Pacific Coast Nationals, which there was like 140 non-wing cars at Manzanita, and we won the qualifying night of that, and then we ran third or fourth in the final night. We had a rock go through the right front shock and blow the shock out, and Bobby Jones ended up winning the race. And we won some other races there, and then we started again the next spring with him too and won some outlaw races right out of the box. But, yeah, Jack was a lot of fun, and we won a lot of races together.
You joined up with Steve Kinzer in 1998 on the way to a World Outlaw Series championship. How did that come together?
Oh, no, that's a long story. That one there was a deal where I said no at least three times. I helped him a few times, and he'd won a couple races, and I went to Knoxville to watch. And Scott had called me that week, Scott Gerken, his mechanic, and said that he wanted to go home. He wanted to be around his kids more and said, I'm not really interested. I was going to try to get my own stuff back going again. And I had worked on the Penzo car the year before that and that spring, and I had some disagreements with the owner in the spring. And anyway, I was in the pits at Knoxville that night and the Twin Features. And Jack won the first of the Twin Features. And that spring, we had won the Outlaw Show that spring there, too. And let's just say the owner came by and said something about, I told you we didn't need you to win here. And I just looked at him, and I didn't say a word. And then Steve walked up to me and said, you going to help me, or aren't you? And the guy was, they were both standing right there in front of me. And I looked at him. I said, yes, I am. And that's how it started right then and there. And I went over and worked on the car, and he started 22nd in the second feature, and he lapped three quarters of the field. That's how it started. So now everybody knows the whole story.
And anybody that knows the Kinzers knows that Bloomington Speedway was literally right in the Kinzers' front yard. And if you were going to Bloomington Speedway, the Kinzer family was going to be tough to beat there.
Yeah, we won an outlaw show there, me and Steve, couple weeks later. And in 92, I was there with Jack leading the Outlaw Show with two laps to go by over a straightaway. And he was lapping Jimmy Carr and punted Jimmy Carr off the track, lapping him, and flipped him, and then knocked the Jacobs ladder halfway out of our car. And so there was a red flag, and everything was bent on ours, and I just looked at Jack. I was so pissed. I said, you're going to have to drive it this way. You got two laps to hang on. And Steve was running second, and on the last lap, the last corner, Steve went to slide him, and Jack didn't let him go, and they both went off the track together right in front of the grandstand at Bloomington. And the beer bottles and the people and everything else were flying over the fence at Jack. So I went over there. But the four-wheeler went to get him, and one of the crew guys from Kinzer's team comes strolling up there behind me, and he walked up to Jack and punched him. And I'm like, what the heck? And this guy turns around and looks at me, and he was going to say something, and then he looked like he'd seen a ghost. And I turned around behind me, and here's Jack Hewitt on a dead run to our car. When that guy seen Hewitt coming, he took off running. And that was two of the statements I don't think I'll ever forget as long as I live is, Kinzer was hollering at Hodenshield in the car, what the hell are you doing? Why did you wreck me? And Hod's famous line was, which I'll never forget, he goes, Kinzer, get the hell out of that car. I'm going to kick your ass right here and right now. And Steve looked at me, and I looked at him, and I was like, oh, my God. And I almost started laughing, but I was so pissed. And then I pushed him back to the trailer, and we're sitting there, and this big guy comes walking by our car. I mean, he was like 6'5", about 240. He was a big dude. Comes walking by and walks right by me and walks right straight up to the trailer and walks right up to Jack and says, "Steve Kenzer's a good friend of mine. I'm going to kick your ass right here and right now." And Jack looked up at him like, oh. And Jack didn't say a word. And Jack Hewitt jumps from his trailer door to our trailer door, pushes Jack out of the way, almost pushed him down. And he looks at this guy and he goes, "Listen, you big SOB." He goes, "I might have got lapped by this little guy tonight. But," he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, there's one good thing about this fight." And that guy looked at him and says, "What's that?" "I'm going to get first or second, so it don't really matter." And the guy looks at him like, "Hewitt, you got him." He looked at him like he was crazy. And Jack was pulling his arms out of his sleeves, tying his suit around his waist. And the guy decided that he had wanted no part of Hewitt. And he turned around and walked away. Two of the craziest statements I ever heard in my life was when Jack told Steve to get out of the car, he was going to kick his ass. And Hewitt tells this guy, it didn't matter if he, despite how it was going to go or not, I'm going to get first or second. It don't even matter. So, but yeah, Bloomington, Indiana, I've had some interesting races there, but the last time I was there was with Steve and we won.
Terry McCarl, Johnny Herrera, Greg Hodnett, Tyler Walker, Jeff Shepard, Sammy Swindell, you've had the opportunity to work with the who's who in sprint car racing. What was it like to work with Sammy? Because you guys have minds at work alike. Those must have been some great conversations.
Yeah, no, I mean, Sammy is definitely probably one of the most switched on drivers there is that ever has been. He could talk fuel systems. He could talk cars. He could talk angles. He could talk birdcage angles. He could talk whatever. And he definitely is one of the sharpest guys that's ever drove one of these things. He definitely was someone that you could learn together with and do things together with, and it was fun.
You and Sammy are always thinking about how to make a sprint car even faster. Is that what you think about in the evenings when you're cruising around Morgan, Minnesota, is how to make a car faster?
Morgan's only a town of 900 people or 800 people, so you don't cruise around too long, but no, I mean, yeah, there's definitely, I'm still working on things right now. I was trying to do some motor stuff right now. And if my health gets better, then that I would like to go race yet. But I think it's the best motor I've ever had in my life sitting here right now that makes the most power and the most torque and the most horsepower and drivable and everything. But if you're not striving to go forward, you're going to get passed. And there's always somebody that's going to work to strive forward. I don't care if it's different than it was years ago. Years ago, you had a lot of the old guys that did their own motors and poured at their own heads. And you had shops like Earl's or Ronnie Shavers or Bob Westfall's back in the day. But most of them guys all came from the old school. I mean, the first time I ever met Smokey Yunick was at Earl Gertie's shop. That's the kind of old school I'm talking.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame induction. We were sitting down at your table with some friends of yours, including Steve Krapp. What does that induction mean to you personally?
Well, I mean, it's something that you haven't really got to enjoy it yet because I've really never stopped and I never got to go to the induction that night. It was the same night as the Jackson Nationals, and that was an outlaw race, and that's the same night that my son was running his 305 car for the 305 deal too. So I had a lot going on that week. And, I mean, you never really set out to be in the Hall of Fame. You just set out to do your job and do it the best of your ability. And the way the cards fall was the way the cards fall. And to be lucky enough to be voted into the Hall of Fame, it's a dream come true.
Earlier this season, I had mechanic Tommy Sanders on the Dirt Show, and the mechanics spend a ton of time together down in the pits, prior to the races, after the races, heading to the next event. It is really grueling out there on the road, and you really need to take care of each other when you're out there.
Yeah, I've known Tommy for a long time. I mean, he actually worked for a company that sponsored the car in the early 2000s, by the company called Workin. But I knew Tommy from when he was working at Gambler. I didn't know Tommy before he was working with Sammy or when he was out in Pennsylvania. But I've known Tommy for a long time, and Tommy's got a lot of history with a lot of good people and won a lot of good races. And he kind of just got out of the scene and kind of just left it, which if you're going to do it, that's the way you got to do it, because this is like the worst drug you can be involved in. And if you get back involved, you can't get away from it. So, and Tommy just kind of got away and moved on. And when I quit, I'm pretty sure that's what I'm going to do. Just walk away and move on. Because if you don't, you won't get away from it.
You've had your world-class sprint car shop in the tiny town of Morgan, Minnesota for over 40 years. That is so amazing, the wins that have come out of that building over the years.
Most people in this area don't even have a clue what we've done out of that shop. Not going to lie to you. Pretty low-key, no name on the door, no name on the shop. When we won most of all them races back in the day, there was no internet, there was no Facebook. It was just word of mouth. And we were gone so much. I mean, we raced 100 to 120 times a year back in the day, all over the whole United States. Out of that shop, we won an outlaw race in 36 different states. When I bought that shop in 1989 or 90, I paid $3,000 for the building. And it was just a bare building, nothing in it. And since I've added on and built on and whatever. But nobody really knew. Honestly, everybody always says, well, you race cars, must be an expensive hobby. Nobody ever really knew that you did it for a living. And back in the day, nobody even thought about you trying to do that kind of stuff for a living. Nobody really made a living at it around the local areas. And we were lucky enough to get with the right people. And the drivers that I've had, from even Bobby Davis to Ronnie Schumann to Keith Kaufman, the best of the best is who we got to have in our cars. And that's why we were so successful. And like I said, then together with all the people that we had for sponsors, it was like at first the local scene when we started was just like a family local sponsor deal where we had local people that was around here. And then Jackpot got on board when Jackpot opened up over here. But Jackpot was one of the first casinos, and it wasn't big money. It was $10,000. Is what it was. But $10,000 back in the 90s was quite a bit of money. But at the end of the day, everybody thought we had these enormous sponsors, but it was just kind of a family deal, and we just succeeded on how much we won. I mean, we'd win 25 to 45 races a year, and that's how we made it go. And it was this young kid that everything I owned, everything I had was either on my back or in my suitcase or in my shop. I spent every dime I ever made racing. And every dime I ever made is still in the shop. But that's how we succeeded. And didn't have no overhead. And if you'd had great big $2-3 million shops, I could have never afforded to do nothing like that. And I mean, it's just way different now. But the guy that won the most races ever in the history of sprint car racing is Carl. And he did it out of an old gas station. So it's not how big you build your shops or how big a trailers you got. It's the people around you and the guy in the car. And it's still called motorsports for a reason. You still got to have motors and you got to have a motor program, and you could win in an open trailer if your car wouldn't get stolen off the trailer. You think about back in the day, everybody had open trailers and nothing got stolen, nothing got taken. It wasn't a matter if it was a late model, a stock car, a modified or a sprint car. Everybody was on open trailers and nobody bothered that kind of stuff. Nowadays, you have to worry about that kind of thing.
40 years of wrenching on sprint cars have taken a toll on your body. How much longer do you plan on doing what you're currently doing?
You know, I've told some of my best friends here in the last year, probably another year, I'm really starting to, I mean, I still go out and wheel 2-4 miles at night and do things, but I'm starting not to miss the all-night car washes and the hotels and the driving all night. And it's just because I'm not feeling that good, too. I mean, I still love the competition and the racing. I still love working in my shop and doing things. But I had 18 hours worth of surgery this last winter, which wasn't planned. And it totally kicked my butt. And I'm to the point where if I can't dig myself back out of this, I'm getting to that age where I probably am going to say uncle and give it up here in the next year or so.
Guy, no matter what decision you make, if it's another 6 months or another year or another 5 years, your career has been amazing. Congratulations on being a National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum inductee. And thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
Yeah, I want to thank you, and it was great talking to you.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just watching Shevlin Enterprises picking up our trash.
That was a great decision to switch to Shevlin Enterprises.
Yes, it was. Great price, great service, locally owned and operated. And remember that spring garage cleanout?
Yeah, two full dumpsters, and they took care of it all.
I wish every decision was as easy as Shevlin Enterprises.
Amen to that.
Contact Shevlin Enterprises today at 507-214-8727.
Racers Cole and Kyron Anderson want to provide outstanding products for their customers at Anderson Enterprises. With their new 10-color screen printer, your t-shirts, sweatshirts, tank tops, and vests will stand out from the rest. Anderson Enterprises also provides embroidery on sweatshirts, jackets, beanies, baseball caps, blankets, and more. Mention this Dirt Show ad and receive 10% off your next order. Contact Anderson Enterprises in La Center at 507-351-9244 or AndersonEnterprises.net. Set yourself apart from the rest.
As you snap the throttle to the floor, you want quick response and a burst of power. Hi, this is Corey from Byers Engine Service. Since 1975, our staff here at Byers Engine Service has been supplying hot rodders, drag racers, and circle track cars with the power and dependability they need at an affordable price. When you consider your next engine build, consider Byers. BESPerformance.com. No gimmicks, just horsepower.
Batwing Chassis began like many other famous racing entities with a simple premise: good friends and fast cars. It started with a group of friends racing their custom-built mini race cars on a homemade dirt track in southern Minnesota. The Min Mods were generating interest as a fun entry-level race car that was affordable. In 2010, Nathan Kilwine founded Batwing Chassis. Today, Batwing Chassis continues to build custom Outlaw Mini Mods as the Black Iron MFG Outlaw Mini Mods series adds more drivers and fans every season. Batwing Chassis. Fast, affordable fun. See batwingchassis.com.
The National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is the only museum in the world that's solely dedicated to sprint car racing. Located in Knoxville, Iowa, next to the world-famous Knoxville Raceway, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is open year-round for race fans to come in and learn more about sprint car racing. You'll see 30 to 35 race cars on display that are constantly changing throughout the year. In addition, you'll find memorabilia, historic race shops, and racing videos inside the museum next to the sprint cars. There's a racing movie theater on the museum's second floor, all of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees' plaques and stories on display, a panoramic view of Knoxville Raceway, and the world's largest sprint car retail store, all at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa.
Midwest Collision.
Dedication to excellence. That's what sets Midwest Collision of Faribault apart from other collision repair shops. Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will spend as much time as it takes on your vehicle to guarantee it leaves the shop looking and operating as good as new. Contact Midwest Collision today at 507-332-2434.
Midwest Collision.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Ashley Zimmerman. And Ashley, you are a very busy lady. You are the editor of Dirt Empire magazine. How did that opportunity come about, and how long have you been the editor?
Well, so I actually started writing back in 2019 for Justin Zock, who was the previous editor of Dirt Empire. So I've been with Dirt Empire since our beginning in 2021. Justin transitioned with Adam Cornell, our publisher and owner, from a different magazine into creating Dirt Empire. Before that, I was just a race fan. I grew up around sprint car racing at Knoxville Raceway. My parents had been going since 1978, and I had always read the Nationals program and had a dream that, you know, one day I'd love to be somebody who contributed to that. I liked the stories and how it brought emotion to sprint car racing and emotion to the event. And when I got the opportunity through posting on Hosehead's message board by saying, hey, I'm interested in this. I've always been interested in this. How do I get started? Justin Zock actually sent me a message and said, pitch me some ideas. Let me see what we can do and what we can get going. And So I pitched him a couple of ideas and started writing for him back then. And he was with Dirt Monthly at that point in time. And then when we transitioned to Dirt Empire, I came on as the senior writer and have written 3 to 4 articles an issue since we started, from everything from sprint cars to late models. Obviously, I'm a sprint car person at heart, so I like to prioritize writing about sprint cars, but I have done quite a bit of late model and modified writing as well. And then earlier this year, Justin decided that it was time for him to step back and retire. His kids are in high school, and he realizes that he's got some limited amount of time with them, and they're not, his kids aren't super invested in racing. So he decided he wanted to spend more time with that. And with that announcement, I couldn't imagine anybody else filling that role or somebody else overseeing my voice. So I decided to throw my hat in the ring to Adam Cornell, our publisher, and offered to take the position, or kind of pitched myself to take the position. And since would have been June or July, I have been the interim editor, next editor for Dirt Empire.
And you are really a hands-on lady, because we were talking off the air. You were just down at Lee County over the weekend.
Yeah. So as if I can't do enough things since writing, I've actually picked up a camera and, you know, took some direction from our senior photographer, Dave Campbell, who's down in Oklahoma, some suggestions and opportunities to learn. And so not only do I now write, I also photograph. So we try to hit up as many races, myself and my husband, as possible. He also photographs dirt track racing now as well. So being in Illinois, we're not very far from Knoxville. We're about 2.5 hours, but we're also 2 hours from Lee County. We're 1 hour from 34. We're 2 hours from Jacksonville. We're kind of in that really great spot where if you want to go racing every weekend throughout the summer, you can definitely do that. And I try to get myself as overwhelmed with work as possible.
Snappy B Media, you guys take some great photos, and it is kind of scary to be down there as a track photographer sometime.
I try to prioritize safety more than I think some track photographers do. I seen some stuff this weekend that I thought was rather questionable with the smarts of it all, but I'm probably the first one that'll stand back further than most people. I think the drivers, you know, they don't need to worry about where we're going to be. I'd rather worry about getting out of their way and staying out of their way versus putting myself in harm's way. But you get yourself in some situations sometimes that you didn't anticipate or prepare for. I do appreciate that a lot of racetracks that we go to, especially in Knoxville, they have really started to limit media member access and try to do their best to also keep you safe behind catch fences and other things that prevent things from happening.
You are also co-host of Heels on Wheels Radio. I do June Ladies Month every year on the Dirt Show. There are some talented female race drivers out there. What kind of stories do you cover on your show?
So we cover everything from grassroots women in racing to people that work in NASCAR as fuelers on, you know, engineering, anything from any story. I actually became co-host by being on there to share my story in racing and where I've been and what I've experienced. And we feature anybody. If you're a photographer, if you're a media member, if you're a promoter, we've had Kendra Jacobs from High Limit on there. We've had little girls that race go-karts. We've had girls that are into 360 sprint cars in California. We've had asphalt things. We've had just anything you can imagine. We've had Janet Guthrie on the show as well. We talk about racing history. We talk about racing going forward. Anything, if you're a woman in motorsports and you have a story to tell, we want you on the show. We want to share that there are places for women in racing. There are opportunities, and that you can make your own opportunity, even if it seems extremely daunting.
The diversity of the content in Dirt Empire magazine is what attracted me to your publication, late models to sprint cars and literally everything in between.
Yes, there is nothing off limits. If it goes around a circle and it's on a dirt track, we want to feature it. And we don't want to just feature the headlines. We want to feature the up-and-coming drivers. We want to feature everybody, people behind the scenes, promoters, racetrack history, racing history in general. If it happened on dirt and it was a dirt track atmosphere or story, we want to share it with our subscribers, whether that's in photograph or in story form. We do a lot of Q&As so that we can give you the raw, real answers from drivers with their emotion of things that have happened for them.
As an editor, it is your job to collect all of the content, photos, and ads and get them ready to produce a product. And oh yes, there is a deadline, so that's a huge job.
Yeah, it can get a little overwhelming. I actually do feel that it's less overwhelming being the editor than it is being the writer. I think I get to see a little bit more of the leeway. I get to see as things are coming together and it's less pressure because I know how things are formulating. If I have a little bit extra time, I can see those things. I can see how, as we're building things, I see where the leniency is, and I can kind of slow down a little bit. As the writer and being on the other side of things, you don't get to see the inner workings. You don't hear the behind the scenes. You just know that you have a hard deadline to produce that content from. And during race season, it can be kind of difficult to track down a driver or, you know, make your schedules cohesive so that you can spend time talking to them. So I feel like on the editor side, it's actually a little bit less overwhelming, if that surprises anybody. I just feel like you have a little bit more, you know, all of the inner workings, you know, all of the moving pieces. And if one piece isn't moving correctly, you still know that you can pivot to something else. Whereas when I was the writer, I just had those assignments and those things, and I knew they were due, and I knew the magazine depended upon that piece coming. As an editor, if I know somebody's having a little bit of a struggle getting a hold of a driver, I know that I have other people I can lean on to produce something else in place or as a plan B.
And speaking of trying to get a hold of a driver, as an editor and a radio host, I'm sure story ideas are always helpful. It's awesome when somebody contacts me and says, hey, have you been watching this driver? Here's his or her contact info, and that is great when you need it.
That's probably my favorite thing, is not telling people what to write about. If somebody writes in and says, hey, I have been following this story along, I'd love to write about it, or I'd love to share about it, or even if we have photographers that send in photos that would equate to a story and we have things that we can suggest out, or we can kind of pitch to other people and say, hey, does this interest you? Do you want to write about that? I like that so much better than having to develop everybody's stories and hand out assignments. If you come to me with an idea because you're boots on the ground and you're at that racetrack and you see that story developing, that excites me more than me having to give you something to write about, because I know that that's something that also scratches your brain and makes you feel fulfilled. So you're going to produce a way better story than if I'm just plucking stuff out of the air and saying, well, what about this? How about you write about this?
Your favorite track and why?
I think everybody's going to think I'm going to say Knoxville Raceway. My favorite track is 34 Raceway in Burlington. It is technically my home track. It's an hour away. Brad and Jesse, they are the owners of that racetrack. It is not Fairboard backed. They do everything on their own, and they have developed a really great racetrack. I think there's something special about a promoter who goes through the field at the start of the A feature and thanks every driver for coming. They go the extra mile. They make sure that everybody's taken care of. They make sure that everybody feels appreciated. They listen to their drivers. They listen to the fans. And they try to create a cohesive environment that also brings excitement and safe racing. And I've really fallen in love with how they try to produce things and how they stand for racing and invest into their track versus, you know, everybody knows about Knoxville. And I think finding those hidden gems in Iowa especially is really great and really unique. And I would say that 34 is probably one of my favorite places to go.
Favorite event so far in 2025 and why?
Well, this one's going to be the obvious one. It's the Knoxville Nationals every year, hands down for me. I've not missed a single Knoxville Nationals since 1986. I was at the racetrack when I was 2 weeks old, and my parents have brought me ever since. I actually still own the same seats that my parents sat in 1978 and started going to the Nationals. And I sell them every year now because I'm a working media member, but they're still in my family's name. And I lost my dad at 17 in 2003, and that was the thing that we bonded over every year. That was the last event that we went to. I actually met my husband at the Knoxville Nationals. So the Knoxville Nationals every year is extremely special.
Will we see you at the Midwest Motorsports Expo in Rochester on March 14th, 2026 again this year?
Well, we were there in 2025, so hopefully if they have the event again, I'm sure that's something that my publisher would be interested in exploring again. We have a lot of fun getting to meet subscribers, getting to meet other people in the industry, and just spreading the word about the magazine face-to-face and getting to talk to people versus just telling people about it.
How can listeners become subscribers to Dirt Empire Magazine?
You can go to dirtempiremagazine.com and you can fill out a subscription there. If you see me at a racetrack, you can give me your subscription at a racetrack. I will be at the World of Outlaws LaSalle, Illinois event in a couple of weeks. Or you can mail in a subscription out of the magazine. You can also find the magazine in Books A Million, Barnes & Noble, Tractor Supply, some Walmart locations as well. The Sprint Car Hall of Fame in Knoxville, Iowa, Bernheisel's, and Close Racing Supply also carry the magazine. So you can find us just about anywhere across the United States by visiting Tractor Supply, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, and Walmart.
Ashley, thanks for all you do to help promote racing, and thanks for being with us here on The Dirt Show today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so glad other people are finding out about the magazine and interested in knowing more.
In the United States, more than 150 million tons of steel are recycled annually. Millions of tires and approximately 160 million car batteries. Since 1972, Miskin Auto Parts has been a part of that recycling effort. This is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. We have also helped to provide customers with quality, reusable parts locally and throughout the region with our daily shipping program. Give us a call at Miskin Auto Parts today for quality used parts, 507-684-2100. Recycle we must, and in God we trust.
Aero Race Wheels is a leading manufacturer of high-quality steel racing wheels for both dirt and asphalt racing. Aero Racing Wheels are built right here in North Iowa. This U.S. company's premium race wheels have been designed to put drivers on the top of the podiums for over 25 years. If you want to run with the winners, see AeroRaceWheels.com or call 888-895-2376 today.
Now is the perfect time to schedule that fall chemical application, lawn aeration, our final landscape project before the weather changes. Wolf & Sons Yard Service also provides fall yard waste cleanup to get those branches and leaves off your grass for a beautiful lawn next season. Contact Wolf & Sons today at 455-3524. They even provide bulk chemical hauling to your farm and can widen those field driveways for your larger equipment. That's Wolf & Sons, 455-3524.
Foamcraft Packaging is a small family-owned company and has been in business since 1988. Hi, I'm Donna Ayers and I own Foamcraft along with my husband Bob. We specialize in quality, affordable, custom foam and wood packaging. Let our professional staff of designers, engineers, and manufacturers create a packaging solution that fits your needs and budget. Located at 400 Alexander Drive in Owatonna, Minnesota. Give us a call at 507-455-2893. Look us up at Foamcraft Packaging.
Since 1997, Weir's Machine has been innovating the finest products in the racing industry. We also manufacture the Ultra Force Load Machines and develop the Ultra Force Suspension Software, which allows you to take your program to the next level. Be sure to check out the all-new Circle Track app, your ultimate go-to spot for race team information. Keep track of your maintenance schedule, parts list, car setups, and more. Proudly made in the USA, champions across the country choose Weir's Machine, Ultra Force, and the Circle Track app to take them to victory lane. Shop now at Weir'sMachine.com, UltraForceTech.com, and the all-new CircleTrackApp.com. Follow us on all of our social media platforms at Weir's Machine.
Reliability you can count on. Hi, this is Callie at Powerlift Doors by French Manufacturing. With few moving parts, our one-piece hydraulic doors are engineered for maximum uptime so you can focus on the field, not door repairs. The tight, secure seal keeps out snow and ice, protecting your valuable equipment and reducing your heating costs. See powerliftdoors.com or call 507-374-9306.
Gilland Enterprises is your local distributor of Justice Brothers products. Justice Brothers products reduce breakage, downtime, and increase machinery reliability, life, and performance, which increases your profits. Superior lubricants like JB80 and JB Heavy Duty Chain Lubricants are made for today's farm equipment. This family-owned America's brand for quality products has provided additives, lubricants, and cleaner to auto enthusiasts, racers, truckers, industries, and farmers for more than 80 years. Contact Gilland Enterprises, your local Justice Brothers car care products distributor at 952-934-7354 or visit justicebrothers.com. Go with the winner, Gilland Enterprises and Justice Brothers.
Welcome back here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Steve from the Napa Star Group Auto Parts Stores. And Steve, I was in our local store a few days ago, and the new 100-year anniversary line of Carlisle tools and the beautiful toolboxes available are awesome. And those Carlisle tools are built to last.
You are correct. Yeah, it has that fantastic green color and it is very impressive. Nice quality tools, all lifetime warranty, good prices with our real deals, and just a spectacular addition to our line of tools.
The one thing I really like about that green, if you lay a tool down somewhere in a shop, you're probably going to be able to find it because of the color.
You're absolutely right. They did a little survey on what colors and things like that, how it should look, and that green stood out as one color that everyone seemed to like, or the majority did. And there's good reasons for everything that they do for the tools, because it was researched and had other people put input and how it should feel, how it should look, how it should work, how it should act. So, yeah, I think we're on the right track.
When I have a project, Napa is the place to go. Bondo in a bag. Who knew? I used to buy gallons and quarts and always have all this stuff left over. It's really pre-measured, comes with the hardener on the bottom of the package. So easy to use. And then I was able to have Brian come out, look at the paint code on my wife's van, actually pulled a couple paint chips, went out, stood in the sun, made sure it was exactly what I needed, and he was able to mix that in a 20-ounce rattle can, and it came out perfect. It sure beats the old Nick and Fix, right, Steve?
Yeah, that's a long time ago. But yeah, you're right. And DupliColor has some good matches, too, where you don't even have to go through the work you had there. But there are certain colors, that's the only way you can get them is by mixing the paint and have it put into a can for you. So that is an option. But yeah, the stuff in the bag, yeah, like you said, who knew? There's more things, more additives, different things we see coming in the bag now. It's a trend.
I know all of your stores are geared up to help the farmers finish and get everything in the bin, and also all those contractors and landscapers out there trying to get those last-minute projects done before the weather changes. If you need a custom-made hydraulic hose, have a filter plug up from the dust, your local Napa store is ready.
You got that, right. We do help them out as much as we can when it comes to keeping their equipment running, getting the part when they need it. If we don't have it, we'll go get it or have it as soon as possible. And hopefully they have a long fall. You know, a lot of times we can get nice weather up to and including Thanksgiving and get a lot of things done yet this year.
If you have that do-it-yourselfer on your holiday shopping list and you are racking your brain for a great gift, head down to your local Napa store, look at these Carlisle tools, or just grab a gift certificate because anyone would be happy with that.
Exactly. You can use that gift certificate for just about anything in the store other than tools and equipment. We've got accessories, towing, accessories, parts. You know, if you need maybe your gift is a brake job, not probably the most fantastic gift, but you got to have it. So, I mean, that always takes a little bit of the pain out if you got a gift card to go against it. So, a lot of opportunities. You can pick up a Real Deals catalog, and they've got a lot of ideas in there for tools and equipment that can be used around the shop or in the field.
Steve, thanks for being with us all season long. 100 years in business for Napa this year, and also over 50 years in the business for you. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, Clay. Enjoyed it.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miners Outdoor.
Miners Outdoor, your family-owned Husqvarna dealer, is the only preferred partner Husqvarna dealer in Minnesota and one of only 40 in the nation. Stop by Miners in Blooming Prairie to check out the dependable Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. From trimmers and chainsaws to zero turns and tractor mowers, we've got what your yard needs. With over 20 years of product knowledge, we also service what we sell. That makes Miners Outdoor your number one choice for lawn and garden.
Miners Outdoor, Major Tough.
When it comes to choosing your next industrial, commercial, residential, and ag electrician, choose Coles Electric. Hi, this is Steve Cole. Coles Electric offers pole setting, directional boring, underground trenching, boom truck service. We also update your lighting to new energy-efficient LEDs for years of reliability and service. Planning, design, or 24-hour service, see ColesElectric.com or call 507-451-1387.
Never know.
Winter is on the way. Is your car ready? Don't wait until the first winter storm to find out your car isn't prepared. Napa Auto Parts is here to make sure your battery is tested, your headlights are working, and your antifreeze and windshield wipers are winter ready. A quick seasonal checkup now means safer, smoother driving all winter long. Let Napa Auto Parts help give you peace of mind on the road, because preparation today keeps you moving tomorrow.
Napa.
Are you ready to take your flavor game to the next level? Reach for the award-winning sauces and seasonings from Cookies, our flavor-enhancer all-purpose seasoning, and rub is a popular combination of spices that's delicious and marinate on meats and anything that needs a flavor kick. And don't forget about our full line of sauce, including our Korean barbecue sauce. It's the one that puts an Asian twist on some of our favorites like chicken wings, pork, seafood, and more. Get game-changing recipes at CookiesBBQ.com, and remember, smart cookies use Cookies.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.